contradictions in the Arab movement, particularly Yemen is one of them, because we know that Saudi Arabia, the Gulf countries, have specific interests in Yemen with the United States. And the Houthi, on the other hand, have their own forces and control on the ground. And as well, the government virtually have its hand only in the big cities, and even weak in Sana'a. So I think it's a very complicated situation, and I hope it will settle down. And I hope the new government will create unity and peace in Yemen, which I'm sure every Yemeni citizen looking forward to see stability and feel safe when you walk in the streets.
Well, of course, we know that the security and stability is far from what Yemen is still experiencing. Just recently, that bomb blast Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility for, which killed many people. But Saab Shath, how would you compare this most recent development, the revolution coming into fruition in Yemen, to, for example, Libya? Because everything has gone wrong in Libya in comparison to what has occurred in Yemen.
Let me just comment before that the last question, which is, I think, it's a vital question to answer. The Houthis and the revolutionaries command populist movement in Yemen. And the shift of Saudi Arabia's policy toward picking at the Muslim Brotherhood as enemy, and the people of Yemen as well, seeing the Islah Party and the Muslim Brotherhoods are betraying them, and what they agreed before with the Gulf states are not being fulfilled and being corrupt and burdening the people with a lot of debts. And that is galvanized the populist rejection of the Muslim Brotherhoods and their government. And the only one managed to cleanse Yemen nearly of them were the Southern Movement and the Houthis united together. And that's why the Saudis, they couldn't command that kind of populist support, them or the United States of America, to get rid of that kind of government by popular support. And they thought they can be quiet for a while about what is the revolutionaries doing in Yemen. And then they use their scenarios, which they are brilliant at, plunge the country in kind of suicide bombing campaigns and such and such. But we notice one thing in here, which is different. Before, the Al-Qaeda, when used to attack in Yemen, used to attack military bases, security bases, economical targets, such. But this time, they targeted, as I said earlier on, civilians who were rejecting the foreign influence and modeling in Yemen, or Saudis or American. So we can see there, Al-Qaeda actually implementing United States of America's and the Saudis' policy. The picture to me is very clear. Who is very clear here. There is no distinction between Al-Qaeda or the United States of America's ambassador or its policy or the Saudis. And regarding Libya, we are witnessing some sort of kind of fanatics as well as groups exactly plunging Libya in chaos, the same like in Yemen. You have Ansar Sharia and all of these offshoots of Al-Qaeda fighting each other. And the other side, you have Haftar, who was defected from the Libyan army in the 80s during their war in Chad, and defected to the United States of America, who was looked after as well by the United States of America. So the both horses in there playing in Yemen as a counter-revolutionary kind of horses. America usually bets in the two horses at the same time. It doesn't matter. The winner is, at the end of the day, playing the Americans' agendas, policies.
I'm going to press you on the point that you made about Al-Qaeda and the United States. But before that, let's take a quick break and listen to some of the viewer comments on the topic of this debate.
This is not a Shia or Sunni issue. Corruption's the main problem. At least someone made a real change. Let's just hope they're not being used as pawns in a bigger game. Few revolutions have reached their initial goals throughout history. It's only logical to have a serious, peaceful shakeup than trying your hand at big changes. It would be ideal if the South breaks away again and the Zaydi Shia control northern Yemen. Saudi Arabia, however, will probably do everything they can to prevent this outcome. Who are the majority? Their demand must be fulfilled. What does democracy mean? You've tried the other side all these years, and where are you now? So why don't you try this side and see where it's going to take you under the supervision of decent and elected people? If there's a thank, it should go to those citizens killed in Tahrir Square last week in protests against the US. I think this government is the first one which came after an armed struggle against US loyalists from the Al-Ahmar family. This is all I can say. We need nothing from it just to make us proud that it's made in Yemen, not in Saudi Arabia.
Just some of the viewer comments there. Dr. Wafiq Mustafa, our guest, Saab Shah, talked about Al-Qaeda, and I, if I understood you correctly, Saab Shah, based on the event that happened in which Al-Qaeda killed a number of civilians who rejected the outside foreign interference, that puts Al-Qaeda and the U.S. on the same page. However, the understanding was that the U.S. was using Yemen by giving them some money to use their airspace to launch these drone attacks, supposedly to kill these Al-Qaeda terrorists in the southern part of the country, the AQAP. So is that notion out the window?
I don't think so. I think the United States has been using Yemeni airspace and mounting pilotless drones, hitting targets inside Yemen. I doubt if this will stop. Particularly if we're getting an unstable situation which doesn't look going to be resolving. I'm not comparing Yemen to Libya. Libya is in a great and big and real difficulty. Yemeni have not these problems even between Shia and Sunni, as you've been mentioned, because there are different brands altogether and they've been living for 1,000 years together. It's a very old nation. 3 or 4,000 years. But the fact of the matter is Yemen is passing through difficulty. It's a very poor country, and the notion of nation state got to be looked at seriously. How Yemen going to be a country without being separated into north and south again?
Well, let's look down the road a little bit here, Saab Shah. Based on what has happened, if it is indeed a power shift away from Saudi Arabia, does that mean the fact that Saudi Arabia, who's pushed this counter-revolution in other countries, is not going to be able to maintain its influence? We could talk about countries like Libya, Egypt perhaps, Lebanon even, because Saudi Arabia has its hands in many countries. We could even mention Bahrain.
If I want to look at the bigger picture and then zoom in for this one, Saudi Arabia is suffering hugely since it lost its position as the first exporter of oil in the world to the second and maybe the third now, after the American United States of America used the technology of oil fracturing. So Saudi Arabia now is trying to launch a war of oil kind of prices, reducing the oil prices through swamping the market with oil. So to try to put the fracturing off this battle of the prices, and that as well, Saudi Arabia and the United States of America aiming at hurting Iran through that kind of battle. So Saudi Arabia, as I said earlier on, it doesn't command popular support. It commands the barrels of oil and the dollars of it, which can buy allegiance from terrorists or mercenaries people, and it brings them in the area to plunge the area into deeper trouble. So Saudi Arabia and its masters, the United States of America, can command control in the area and still dominate the area while it's in chaos. If we look at the geographical position of Yemen, especially where is this Hudaydah city, and we see the control of the Red Sea. When the United States of America took Somalia and split Djibouti from it, and controlling that Bab al-Mandab, entrance to the Red Sea from the Indian Ocean, from there, Djibouti. Now they're trying to as well eliminate the strength, the military strength of Iran, but trying to plunge Yemen through this war, because they believe al-Houthis and the revolutionaries will ally themselves to Iran and will have access to the Red Sea from Hudaydah. So it's a bigger geopolitical game than what we think. It's a small thing. It's to deal with petrol, to do with war hegemony as well.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. We're going to have to end it there. Saab Shath, author and Middle East affairs expert, talking to us there from Belfast. And thank you, Dr. Wafiq Mustafa, chairman of the UK Conservative Arab Network, who talked to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Vitawe and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.